This morning on Wake Up With Hope, we'll have music by Lifelong Worship, and John Bradshaw will have the devotional thought for us.
Plus, Ready, Set, Cook is back with another recipe. Don't miss it. Good morning and happy Wednesday, and welcome to Wake Up With Hope. You know, it's a new day.
It sure is, and fall has been so amazing thus far. Don't you just love the changing colors on the trees, the new flowers we get to experience? Truly, God's creation is absolutely amazing.
It sure is. And today is World Kindness Day. So we encourage you to share some kindness. Help a stranger today. Open the door for someone. Smile at someone. Pay for someone's meal. Or plain and simple, give a listening ear to someone who's going through a difficult time.
Kindness always comes back. And we can be sure of that as we follow God's way, and we will only be blessed.
Yes, and we want to share kindness by sharing the love of Jesus with you today. So let's get ready by taking a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history, in 1982, the Vietnam Veterans Memorial was unveiled in Washington, D.C. as the finale of a week-long national tribute to Vietnam War veterans. Thousands of veterans marched to the site for the dedication of the V-shaped black granite wall, inscribed with the names of 57,939 Americans who died in the war. Uniquely, the names were arranged chronologically by the date of death rather than by rank, distinguishing this memorial from others.
You know, the dedication of Vietnam Veterans Memorial can encourage us to reflect on the sacrifice of Christ. Christ's sacrifice on the cross was the ultimate act of selflessness, where he gave his life for the redemption of our own sins. It was a monumental act of selflessness that serves as a profound example for us to follow. Just as Christ selflessly served humanity, we are called to serve and support those around us, even if it means sacrificing our own desires. Wow. Can you imagine how beautiful life would be if we lived like that?
Yes, absolutely. Well, it's time to head into the kitchen as our friends from Ready, Set, Cook are back and making bitter gourd salad. On today's episode of Masterstroke, we're taking an artistic journey through the parable of the rich fool.
Rembrandt knew what it was like to be rich and live a lavish lifestyle. He also knew what it was like to go bankrupt and lose the lot. He painted the parable of the rich fool, which now hangs in the Berlin Museum. This work is based on a story where Jesus said, "Life does not consist in the abundance of things." So let's take a look at the painting. Here we find a rich man thoughtfully examining one of his golden coins. It's nighttime, and the room is illuminated by a single candle. We see papers and Hebrew books stacked all around him. Now, when Rembrandt painted this, a stack of books was a symbol of pride. There's a set of scales, and there's more coins on the desk. Everything's telling us this proud man is totally focused on his money. So let's delve into the story. Jesus told his listeners about a man who grew a bumper crop of grain. The trouble was, he had nowhere to store it. So instead of helping other people, he decided to build bigger barns. Then he could have years' worth of grain. He could retire. In this story that Jesus told, there are 11 references to how this rich fool focused on himself. He said, "What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?" Jesus said, "You fool. Tonight you'll die, and who will get your money then?" Then the clincher. Jesus said, "So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." So what does it mean to be rich toward God? The Bible says, "Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share." It's no wonder Augustine said, "The rich fool didn't realize the bellies of the poor were much safer storerooms than his barns." So what's the key message of this painting? Be content. It's much better to give than gather. After all, once you die, money's of no use. But living for God and helping other people, well, that's worth everything.
When we return, we will have music from Lifelong Worship. And later, John Bradshaw joins us to share a devotional thought.
And don't forget, if you're enjoying today's show, share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup.
Also, check out our YouTube channel. Simply search for Wake Up with Hope and keep up with each one of our episodes. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope.
It's now time for music by Lifelong Worship as they sing "A Mighty Fortress."
A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never fails. Our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not easy. should threaten to undo us. We will not fear, for God hath willed His truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble.
If you're enjoying today's program, be sure to share it and spread a little love. You can also visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup.
We have to stop for a quick break, but after the break, we'll have today's devotional thought by Pastor John Bradshaw. Welcome back, friends.
John Bradshaw from It Is Written is with us here today to share a devotional thought.
Really good to see you. I hope you're doing well today. I hope you're planning to see God work in your life today. In fact, here's a thought. Why don't you start your day and say, Lord, I'm looking to see your blessing today. I'm looking to see you work in my life today. You might even say, Lord, I'm looking to see you work through my life today. And then when you're cognizant of that, you keep contact with God throughout the day. You talk to God throughout the day. Don't just pray in the morning, forget God all day long, and then maybe tip your hat in His direction at night. If you keep close to God and look for His work in your life and through your life, your vision of God might really expand and the blessings that devolve upon your day might be even greater. So, the year 2024, election year in the United States, presidential election. And let's try not to be political, even though we're talking about an election, because I don't intend to be political. I want to talk about people, not politics. Whenever there's an election in the United States, it has been the case in recent times that people say, well, if that candidate wins, I'm leaving and going to Canada. No one asked if Canada wants you, but you did say, well, someone said, I'm out of here, I'm going to Canada, because I just couldn't stand to live in this country if this candidate or that candidate won. Here's what's interesting. Every time there's an election, approximately 50% of the people in the country are disappointed. And no one moves to Canada. Nobody. I'm going to go. And the first time people started saying that, the people at U-Haul were going, oh man, this is going to be great for business. All these one-way things that we're going to have. And then nothing, because words are cheap and it's easy to make a statement. It's kind of saber rattling. You're leaning in, you're venting, getting out of here. I'm moving to Canada. And no one moved to Canada. I'm not suggesting they should. I think that's just a funny little thing about human nature. They say these things and never follow through. Do you really want to be like that every time there's an election? Suddenly, I don't even want to live in the country anymore. Why? Is your way of life going to change that drastically? It doesn't. Just think about the last 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 elections and ask yourself if life changed for the worse irretrievably as a result of that election result. No. This is how it's been forever. When President John F. Kennedy was elected, a whole bunch of people were disappointed. And later on, history judged him pretty well as a president. When Ronald Reagan was elected president of the United States, a whole lot of people were disappointed. But you know, history judges Reagan pretty fairly now, so the disappointed folks somehow made it through. I understand there's an election, changes the way certain things are done in the country. You may not like that. But threatening to leave and go to Canada, that's pretty drastic. Here's how we ought to face election results, with a little bit of faith and trust in God. Now, what does the Bible say about this in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 21? It says, speaking of God, and he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. So ultimately, nobody is elected without God allowing it to be so. Oh, I don't mean that God manipulates election results. I do not mean to intimate that everybody who is elected meets with God's 100% approval. I don't mean to say that this is God's man or this is God's woman. I don't mean to say that. But what we say is what the Bible says. God sets up kings and removes kings. Ultimately, God is in charge. Isn't that what you want to know? That God is in charge. Now, in this chapter, Daniel chapter 2, here's the story. King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and he woke up in the morning and couldn't remember the dream. He remembered that it was a spectacular dream, and he was all concerned because he felt like the gods must be communicating with him through dreams, because that was the belief back then. He called his inner circle of advisors. The Bible refers to them as his wise men. He said, tell me the dream. They go, what dream? Well, the dream. You tell me the dream and then tell me what it meant. And they said, well, if you tell us the dream, we can give you an interpretation. And he said, you all are stalling. You're buying time. This is no good. Tell me the dream and what it meant, or else I will kill you and turn your houses into dunghills. That's the word used at least in one version of the Bible. And they said, well, this is a bit unreasonable. No one can do this except the God whose dwelling is not with humans. They were absolutely right about that. Along came Daniel, bailed them out. Daniel said, what? Let me pray. Daniel prayed along with his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They prayed, and God showed Daniel Nebuchadnezzar's dream. He came to the king, and he said, king, here's what you saw. You saw a big statue, head of gold, chest and arms of silver, belly and thighs of brass, legs of iron, feet made out of iron and clay. And Nebuchadnezzar's like, good, but what does it mean? He said, Nebuchadnezzar, you are the head of gold, powerful kingdom. The Babylonian kingdom had put down the Assyrians, powerful kingdom. But Daniel said, another kingdom is going to come along after you, and it will be inferior to you. And this was the joint kingdom of the Medes and the Persians, represented by silver. Silver is inferior to gold. Medo-Persia was inferior to Babylon. And then there's going to be another one. That will be Greece, the kingdom of brass. And Greece is named as the next kingdom. Babylon is named in the Bible. Medo-Persia is named in the Bible. Greece is named in the Bible, and then Rome, the legs of iron. Can we say it's named? Sure we can, because we read in the Bible about Caesars, and we read in the Bible about Roman governors, and we read in the Bible about crosses, which were instruments of Roman torture. Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome. God said that would happen. That's what happened. Well, what would happen to Rome? In here, the Bible tells us, in fact, Daniel tells us ahead of time that the fourth kingdom would be divided, not crushed or conquered by another kingdom. And that's precisely what happened. Babylon, Medo, Persia, Greece, Rome. Rome divided into 10 nations, 7 of them, which in a certain sense exist today through various people groups in Europe. God's in charge. Now, elections come and elections go. There's going to be a school board election soon. A PTA is going to have an election soon. State Senate and that, you know, judges all having their elections. They're ongoing. May I encourage you not to be too discouraged if the election result doesn't go your way. It's about a 50% chance it's not going to go your way. May I encourage you instead to know in your heart that God is in control. Yes, what happens on this planet is tremendously important, and certainly because it affects our way of life, maybe our values, maybe our belief system, the way we like to see things. We have a stake in that, and certain things will distress us. But this world is not your home. If you're worrying too much about this world, it might be a demonstration to you that heaven doesn't have nearly as much of your heart as it ought to have. Have faith in God today. Election results, they're going to do their thing. Whatever the election is, the result is just going to be the result. And that you cannot really change it. I say really because people try sometimes, don't they? But you cannot really change it. The result is the result. Let's concern ourselves today with the kingdom of heaven. God's work, God's business, God's thoughts and aims. We want to build up the kingdom of heaven. I hope that that will be your primary focus, that you would consider it to be your first responsibility. And relax, it's going to be okay because God is in charge. Have a great day. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor John.
And friends, thank you for watching Wake Up with Hope and spending your morning with us. We enjoyed our time together.
We sure did. So don't forget to join us tomorrow morning. We'll have music from Gisela Kroll, an inspiring devotional from Dr. John Peckham, and more. So don't miss it. And if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and would like to learn more, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
Again, that's hope.study. We are sure our free Bible studies would be a blessing to you. Well, we can't leave without sharing our daily Bible promise. And today's Bible promise comes from Matthew chapter 5, verse 5.
It says, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth."
Mm-mm. What an amazing promise. God promises that as we humble ourselves before Him, we will have the promise of the new earth.
Amen. He has promised. We must only trust Him. We hope that you have begun this day with a grateful heart because of Jesus' love for you. May the Lord abundantly bless you and give you a great Wednesday.
Let's pray together. Oh, Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for the wonderful blessings received today. We choose to humble ourselves and be able to just receive the fullness of your presence in our life, knowing that one day soon, this world, which is sinful and wicked and deadly, will one day become new, where righteousness will dwell and the earth will be our home. And we pray that you will come soon to make that happen. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.